This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Mike Ross filling in for Dave. By the way, in that this day in history, Corinne mentioned the Creever inquiry, which was launched by the Federal Health Department looking into the tainted blood scandal that infected people with HIV and hepatitis C. There's a great series on CBC, which I'm sure is available on demand, called Unspeakable, and was just a phenomenal dramatization of that period of in Canadian history that is certainly worth you checking out if you get that opportunity. Time now to connect with another one of our AMI staffers across Canada. We do this every few days here and find out what's happening in their region. Today, we're checking in with AMI's content development specialist, Karen McGee, who has her central regional report. She joins us from her home in Morrisburg, Ontario. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to throw an Ottawa reference at you. I was just having Mexicali roses for breakfast.
Oh, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. There's never a bad time for Mexis.
And they do sangria to go right now. Not that I had any for breakfast.
Oh, okay.
Just as a note.
Well, hey,
sangria to go.
People can have mimosas for breakfast. Why can't you have a sangria, right?
Well, the whole work thing, they may frown on it.
Oh, fair enough. But you didn't do it on the air, so we're not going to tell anybody. It's all good. It's all good. It's just between us. It's just you and me here. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Let's start with the Giant Steps Foundation in Quebec. They just got a major funding boost for their new center. So tell us what that foundation does.
So Giant Steps, it's a school in Montreal for students aged 4 to 21 who are on the autism spectrum. They have programs in both French and English because they are in Quebec, and it's primary and secondary school programs. They do follow the ministry curriculum, and they are the only school in Quebec to offer an inclusion program that allows students to attend community schools so they can basically matriculate back to their own school. The new Giant Steps Center they are working towards is going to transform the autism community in Montreal, and it's going to provide some much-needed services that's going to expand a little bit longer through a person's lifespan. And then, so they're going to expand the school. They're going to have an adult education and employment center and a resource and community center, as well as do some research. So it sounds like a really amazing place. And, you know, just up the road here from me, about 90 minutes away.
Who is funding this project?
So the Quebec government has stepped up and they're giving them $15 million towards the new center, which is a lot of money. This announcement's actually been 6 years in the making. I mentioned the research earlier. This is something that everybody across the country is going to benefit from because they're going to be able to do research about autism and they're going to obviously share that knowledge.
Now, if we've learned anything, you know, you're right, is when something like, for example, the Ability Center in Whitby, Ontario got built, all of a sudden that sprouts, you know, ideas and interest across the country. So hoping that we get something similar here. But how much money is needed? Are they hoping for as far as the build here?
So it's not a cheap build because every single aspect of this, from the lighting to the curtains, has to take into account people with sensory disorders. So according to the article from globalnews.com, the total budget is $51 million. They have secured $42 million, which is you know, almost to their goal, but they need to raise the rest. And they're really hoping that, since this is something that's going to benefit the whole country, that the federal government can come through with some more money. And they're actually hoping to break ground in 2023, which is not that far away when you think about it.
Well, you know, there's a federal election campaign ongoing, still a few days.
Really? I hadn't heard.
Yeah, it's just a few more days before people finalize their votes and hit the ballot box. Maybe, I don't know, maybe someone could reach out to a politician and say, hey, how about helping us out here?
And there might be some politicians in Quebec that might be pretty high up there. I don't know.
Yeah, there might be. There might be some that are actually looking, you know, to bolster some of their polling numbers in the province of Quebec. So, yeah.
Not mentioning any names.
No. Not pointing any fingers. We're just saying. Let's go to all-terrain wheelchairs. 12-year-old John Ray is able to do even more now around his family farm thanks to a new all-terrain wheelchair. Tell us a little bit about John.
So John's family told their story to OntarioFarmer.com. Shortly after he was born, he was diagnosed with an extremely rare type of muscular dystrophy. So he had to use a wheelchair. He's used a wheelchair his whole life. As a baby, he loved riding in the farm tractor with his parents, Donnie and Trina. His first word was actually tractor. So this kid loves the farm. I shouldn't say kid, he's 12 now. As John grew up, they basically had to find ways to keep John involved in the farm because a lot of farming is not an accessible trade by nature. So they tried things. For example, they'd carry John to the barn and set him on a bale of hay where he would scoop feed for the chickens. Problem was, once on the bale, he couldn't move around freely. They didn't want to bring his everyday wheelchair into the barn because I don't know how many barns you've been in, Mike, but they're a little messy and they're rough and hard to get around. So one day when watching a hunting show, Donnie saw something that he thought could work for John. It's called an action track chair for use in rough terrain. So it's a wheelchair that in place of the wheels has a track like you'd seen on a snowmobile or a tank. His family managed to find a new one. These things are not cheap, and they were able to surprise John with it. So he can now get around the farm a lot easier and can help family out and do something he really loves.
What kind of chores can he help out with now?
Well, they had to jerry-rig it a little bit. Thanks to his dad's welding skills, they rigged a pusher for him to help push the feed in for the animals. He's also been helping with the potato harvest thanks to a wagon attached to the back of his chair. This is the first time he's been able to help with the harvest. They had planted 1,500 pounds of potatoes, and John helped bring them all back to where they needed to be sorted and cleaned and sent off for sale.
All right. Well, that's a fantastic turn of events there. What's next for John?
So his parents have been doing some research and have found some other adaptable farm equipment that is available. There are tractors and excavators that can be run with remote controls. This means the operator can be sitting in the machine running it or sitting in their wheelchair outside running it from a distance, which is really cool. But again, these are very expensive. John wants to be a farmer when he grows up. So they're going to focus right now on adapting John's tractor chair to get him some customized snow plowing equipment and lawn mowing equipment. You know, he's 12. He's turning into a teenager, going to want his own money. He's going to hopefully start a small business, plowing snow and cutting grass. So I think that's really, really cool. But it's expensive. It's a lot. And, the family's been trying to find the money where they can and get these things together for him. But I just love the fact that they're trying to find a very traditional job, one of the oldest jobs, and find a way to make it adaptable for their son who just wants to be a farmer when he grows up.
Absolutely. I think that is phenomenal. Hey, before I let you go, Jeopardy made its return to TV with its new season. Now, you and I, fans of the news that they're going to be looking for a new host, but they had already...
That was an understatement.
Yeah, they had already started taping the season, though. So when it started... on Monday, Mike Richards was introduced as the host of Jeopardy, and I kind of cringed a little bit. But knowing full well that the change is coming, do you know how far they got into taping with him on stage?
I think it was only a week. I don't know if you saw the announcement that came out while you were on air. Mayim Bialik, who I really, really liked, and Ken Jennings, who I would prefer Buzzy. They're going to be sharing the co-hosting duties for the whole season.
Oh, okay. Okay. I did not see that. So thank you
breaking
for telling
news.
Me.
I didn't get the breaking news thing. Sorry. Oh, dang it.
Well, we got to remember. There it is. Breaking news. This just in. Thank you, Seb. So I'm all good with Mayim Bialik. I know that they had her pegged for the primetime stuff, the specials, if you will. I would have been fine with her doing it full time. And I'm with you on Buzzy. I was all in. If they were going to split it, Buzzy was the guy that I would have liked to have seen there. You know, great personality, great delivery. He's got the smarts. I thought it was all Buzzy.
And they make both Mayim and Buzzy make it about the contestants, not about themselves.
Yeah.
I think Ken tends to make it a little bit about himself. I don't know.
I think there's just been too much Ken Jennings. Like, it's just an oversaturation of Ken Jennings when it comes to Jeopardy, right? So, to me, Buzzy was just sort of kind of fresh-faced. Even though he was one of the great players of all time, it wasn't like he was... like everywhere for about 3 years when it came to Jeopardy. So I was okay with.
And what about this guy who's on the streak now? That's the only reason I'm watching this week, because I kind of don't like Mike Richards, but I want to see this young man. So.
Matt Amodio. He's really.
Thank you. I can never remember names.
He's really good. Although I will say this is where the nitpicker, the
are you going to go with the what and who?
No, not at all. The nitpicking for me is how the facial expressions he makes at the end of the show when they're saying, hey, now this is your total. And he's just like, ooh, wow, ooh, ooh. It's like, no, you can't be surprised when you've now won $700,000 and you've won.
He's already done the math in his head.
Right?
Like, you know, he's already done the math in his head.
You factored that into your bet. You are now the 20-day champion. You've won 20 games in a row. You have to stop pretending it's, you know, surprising and mind-blowing. Like, oh, I can't believe that this is happening. Ooh, No, I don't buy it. I don't buy it, not for a second. But
there was controversy about him because he says what for peeing instead of people. Like, when I play at home, I always say what.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, who cares? It's fine. It's a question.
You know,
what is Ken Jennings? You know, like,
he's got the same strategy, right? Every game. Like, if he finds that first daily double, he's going all in. If he finds the first in double, he's going 6,000. If he finds a second, he goes 4,000. Like, that predictability is just sort of ho-hum. But clearly, it works for him. So, good for him.
If it could only work for you and I, Mike. If it could only work for you and I.
Oh, I wish. Still waiting for my chance. Karen, thank you very much. Always nice to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.